calls, comments, and texts welcome at 343-0106. Now, here are your hosts, retired judge and certified NRA instructor, Rusty Johnston, and certified NRA law enforcement instructor, Adam Strange.
Lights don't shine. I live my life the simple way, and you know I'm doing just fine. I fish, I hunt, and I shoot my guns, and I raise a little hell. The things I do, you know I do them well. This is my America, and I'm so proud. I don't mind, I say it loud. This is my America, God bless America, the land of the free, because of the brave. This is my America.
All right, welcome to Armed Alabama. Glad you could tune in to us tonight. We've got a good show for you. Of course, this is a show where we talk about your self-defense, fire and ammo selection, home protection, concealed carry, training, proper range etiquette, and of course, the law, Alabama, Florida, Mississippi, and federal law. And of course, myself, I'm Adam Strange. I'm an NRA law enforcement certified instructor, and of course, the judge is joining us, as he always do.
I'm a computer tech tonight.
And the judge, you're a NRA certified instructor numerous times over again, right?
Right, because I just had to pay him again. I know that.
Yeah, isn't that something? Mine just came up as well. So
I think it's September 30th. Yeah. It must be the fiscal year.
Before I forget, it must be.
Adam, last week, where did that book go? We had a caller that called in talking about he had a book he had hollowed out to put a pistol in. And I told him there, I won't give away names, but there was a circuit clerk here in the state that kind of did it with old codes for fun. So I'll show this Facebook. We are on Facebook at Armed Alabama Radio, FM Talk 106.5. But this is a Code of Alabama volume that's obsolete. And what happens is he did a nice job. He, I guess, cored out the middle, probably glued the sides, and put green felt. Now, you could put your diamonds in there if you had any, or if you go to Cancun and your wife takes her jewelry, you could put it in there to keep the maid from stealing it. Unfortunately, we didn't think of that. Don't take jewelry and leave it in the room in Cancun. But anyway, that's the book. I don't know how to do it, but it's kind of interesting. But it is kind of a nice safe, you know. That would be a concealment as opposed to cover. You know, you can break in it, but it's concealing itself.
Yeah, Judge, we've got a good show for everybody tonight. And joining us in the studio is our good friend Glenn Ramos. So glad you can join us tonight. Shout out to everybody. And So you've got a lot of subjects to talk about tonight.
Hello, Adam. Hello, Judge Rusty. Thank you for having me on the show tonight. I'm very honored to be here. Thank you.
And if you got a comment or a question for myself or the judge or Glenn, give us a call here at the studio, 251-343-0106. And like the judge said, you can check us out on a Facebook page, Armed Alabama Radio, FM Talk 106.5, and we are simulcasting live. So we've already got some folks that's already chimed in and checked in on our Facebook, and they're watching this live via Facebook.
Also, it stays up at least kind of indefinitely. You know,
it does.
It's up to them, but I've been surprised how long it stayed up. We're going to try a little different system tonight and get an HD version of this and put on YouTube, because Facebook doesn't, at least won't let you have it back in HD, and it's just not real good quality, so we'll try that.
Well, that's good, and speaking of YouTube, our YouTube channel is just simply Armed Alabama. So go there and like.
Go there and subscribe. We have 499 subscribers.
Wow.
And so we got to get over 500. But so next person that does it will be over 500.
Yeah, and when we post that on YouTube, Judge, we need to share that from our Facebook page.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you happen to see the old one I put up, that Nixon's campaign in 68?
Yes.
From Madison Square Garden?
Yes.
That, you know, wherever I got it, had mislabeled.
That was a crowd.
They had it, they said, at convention. Well, I looked and I looked at the convention. It wasn't, well, you kind of pick up why he's saying that. He says, in a sense, I'm in the ring tonight. You know, you used to have a lot of boxing matches there. And now is the time, now is the place. I sock it to him. And that's the old laugh-in line, you know. And then I think he says, ladies and gentlemen, this is very true, there's nothing wrong with America that a good election won't solve. Let's have one. And that was pretty clever. But anyway, check that out. It is on our YouTube site. That's just Armed Alabama.
And it's actually a good channel, and we post lots of different videos. The judge, you're very busy with
that. Try not to bore everybody.
No, I think the video,
everyone on Facebook.
I think the videos that you put on YouTube is really, really good. Again, we've got a good show for you tonight. Of course, we're running up to the election season. And definitely want to encourage you to get out to vote. And this election is probably just as important, in some ways not more important, than the 2016 election. And with that, we'll have a candidate joining us tonight. Brandi Hambright for Circuit Court Judge will be joining us in a little while. So we'll have her on. And, of course, Glenn, you've got a lot of stuff related to the election, and we definitely want to talk about that. And be sure and join us next week, where we're going to kind of have a Halloween show of sorts, and we're going to be talking about conspiracy theories. We've talked about them numerous times over the last 2 years, and we keep saying we're going to do a show on conspiracy theories. So we thought, why not? Our show
and
airs.
Sometimes they turn out to be not theories.
Yeah.
By the way, the biggest conspiracy theory is the CIA actually developed the term conspiracy theory. And everything I read says they didn't, but that's kind of interesting.
It is interesting. So be sure and join us next Tuesday, the day before Halloween. So it'd be appropriate time to have a show on conspiracy theories.
Especially
right there at Halloween.
Kind of related to guns, and our side puts a lot of those out. If so and so wins, they already have the legislation drafted to confiscate our guns, or what, you know, ones that people know about, obviously.
Oh, yeah, like the vast right-wing conspiracy.
Black helicopters. In England, there was one they called, I guess, something about social workers, and supposedly they'd come to your house and they're checking on how you're treating your children, and they'd kidnap them. And that was about 20 years ago.
Wow.
And
I hadn't heard that one.
There are a lot of good ones, but I say some turn out to be true. You know, the Gulf of Tonkin incident. That may or may not have happened, but for it to be the legal basis to have a 20-year war, it's going to be – and maybe the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they really thought they were there, or maybe that was a good excuse. I don't know.
And, of course, we got to talk about the chemtrails.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, you got the mother of all conspiracy theories, of course,
9/11. Oh, yeah.
One of my favorite
that
topics.
That has sub-conspiracies,
one of my favorite
too.
Topics, 9/11. You know? So, especially from an engineering perspective, 9/11 is very, very interesting.
I still have questions about the Kennedy assassination.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, they got questions about Abraham Lincoln. And, you know, it's pretty interesting. Mary Surratt was Roman Catholic, and I think she was the first woman ever hanged or executed by the U.S. government. But Jefferson Davis, they thought he was involved. He received, I can't remember, was a crown of thorns, and he received some kind of floral display from the Pope. Now, that's just odd.
Right. And, Charlie, speaking of Kennedy, there is actually a very interesting podcast that my wife introduced me to. It's called the RFK Tapes on podcast. And they right now I'm in season one, show one, where they basically detail that perhaps Sirhan was under MK Ultra control.
There you go, MK Ultra, big one. You know, no question about that. He never really gave an explanation.
Well, he,
you know, I'm here.
Yeah. Well, basically, in a nutshell, when they interview him about the what he did, supposedly, he had no recollection of the event.
Yeah.
None whatsoever.
Yeah. And we've seen the Manchurian candidate. We got to take a break right now. We will be right back with our guest, Brandy Hembright.
We don't let our hair grow long and shaggy like the hippies out in San Francisco do. And I'm proud to be an Okie from Muskogee, a place where even squares can have a ball.
Step up to the firing line. Armed Alabama is back. Questions, comments, and texts at 343-0106.
See, in this world, there's two kinds of people, my friend. Those with loaded guns, and those who dig. You dig. Win.
I don't think anybody in here is a digger.
I don't think so. No.
Welcome
That's
back.
That's a famous thing from old movies. But I'm going to have you dig your own grave.
If Clint asked me to dig, I'd say, where's the show?
Having dug graves for, like, small animals, they're tough to dig.
It is tough.
I can imagine digging
That's a
one
tough
for
job.
Person.
Yeah, that's why I don't own a St. Bernard.
Gosh, yeah.
All right, welcome back to Armed Alabama. We have on the line with us Brandy Hembright, Circuit Court Judge Candidate. Hi, welcome to Armed Alabama.
Hello, Adam. How are you tonight?
All right, doing well. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Hey, Brandy, we're going to give you the ultimate test. What place number is your seat?
Judge, that would be 6.
Okay. You had to write a check. Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, nobody refers to themselves as that. And what do we have, 12 or 14 or something like that?
I believe there are 12.
Yeah,
yes, sir.
Right. Well, glad to have you on the show tonight. And you'll be on the ballot, of course, in the November general election, being the Republican nominee, correct?
Yes, sir, that is correct.
Just tell us a little bit about yourself first.
Well, Judge, thank you. I am running on my experience in the circuit court. I have been practicing since 1999, amazingly. The time has gone
wow.
by very fast. And so that is almost 20 years of doing every type of case just about that a circuit court judge deals with. I have been very fortunate in my practice to see almost every side of both civil and criminal cases. And so I feel like I'm uniquely qualified and very experienced for this job. So I've just been running on my experience and the fact that I am ready to serve the community.
And I know you've got a good temperament, and that, boy, even that helps, especially when you get the occasional pro se litigant in there or some really – there are a few lawyers that are jerks. Not many, but a few. And you've got a real good temperament, so that'll help you.
Thank you, Judge. I appreciate that. I hope so. I have 3 small children, so that helps me every single day.
I bet.
Keep it together.
No question about that.
That always is a help.
Right.
If I can deal with them, I can deal with just about any ornery lawyer, I think.
Right. And for everybody's knowledge, what a circuit court is the Court of General Jurisdiction has jury trials, tries felony cases, and tries civil cases, car accidents, et cetera. It's still over 10,000, I guess 10,001. Or it takes appeals also from misdemeanor, municipal cases, and, gosh, administrative boards. It does a lot of stuff.
That is true, Judge. It is a very wide range of issues that a circuit court judge sees. And obviously, I don't think anyone in practice could have done absolutely everything. But I think as far as the best run I could have given it, I think I've done it.
You know, I remember one time, my first year or two, I was trying a Federal Employers Liability Act case. It's the Railroads Workers Comp. You can try those in state court or federal court. And I think it was Braxton Kittrell came by and said, "Do you want to go to lunch? What are you trying?" And I said, told him. He said, "What is that doing here? Why are you trying it?" I said, "I don't know. The lawyers just showed up."
I was just about to ask you that. That sounds incredibly boring. You could have kicked that over to federal court.
The jury charge, which they both agreed to, I don't know that anybody stayed awake. It was the most unbelievable thing I'd ever seen.
I can imagine.
But
well,
that was
those
at a
are the
time
things that I have the ability, I think, to just to understand and just try to sort out the law. And, you know, as you know, Judge, a circuit judge's only job is to try to sort through the law and figure out, you know, where the facts fall in that in the law and just to follow the law, balls and strikes.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, what we were seeing, too, it handles so many you know, everybody's familiar with, let's say, the criminal case, the robbery or whatever, or the car accident. But it handles things like unemployment compensation appeals, where one side or other, normally the worker has been denied unemployment compensation. So, you know, you get that kind of case. So that's why you want a, you know, I love jury trials. I like juries deciding things. But it's good sometimes when a judge, and of course, by law, a judge decides certain things, you know, a judge with a good temperament and a knowledge of the law and then life experiences decides things.
That's exactly right, Judge. I think that that is very important. And the ability, I think, that I have is sort of unusual that that I've been sort of talking to people about is that when you've stood beside almost every type of party, you've stood beside a plaintiff whose life may very well be in ruins over what a car accident or a medical malpractice claim, you know, what's happened to them. You know, versus standing beside, you know, the owner of a grocery store or a restaurant or a bar or a company, you know, that runs multiple of those things. You know, it's very, it's not that either party's side is less important. It's just that the perspective is different.
Yeah.
And I think that it's very important to be able to look at the parties and their lawyers and to really have some relation to what they're going through.
No question. I told somebody one time, I thought the medical malpractice cases were meaner and nastier than death penalty cases.
Well, that may be so.
You know?
Wow.
They certainly will last so long.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's very exhausting, I'm sure. And I know you know better than I do, but
they
know,
just,
that also
sometimes they racked my mind, really. But and they're all emotional. I mean, when you have somebody, I remember one that wasn't a death penalty case. It was a crashworthiness case of all things. But brother, sister were just burned so badly. It was monstrous, really. I don't know how those five. One was in the hospital for a year. And, you know, you try to keep that poker face, but those things are tough.
Very difficult on your emotions, I'm sure.
Yeah, no question.
I don't know the preparation to do for that. I just know that I want really badly to do a good job, be fair, treat everyone with respect, and I'm hoping that I can, you know, obviously learn how to handle those very emotional issues. And I know that that will come with experience. And, you know, you may never learn how to deal with some of those things.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Well, Judge, you've told me on several occasions that, you know, some of the toughest cases you have were criminal cases. Brandy, in your words, I mean, what are the things that you're trying to focus on as far from a criminal aspect? And, of course, different aspects of the law that our listeners may be find of value?
Well, obviously, Adam, crime is a problem in our community. I am very mindful of the hard work that law enforcement does. I'm supported by local law enforcement, and I have the Police Benevolent Association endorsement. And the reason for that is that I understand their battle every single day. I have been standing there in a courtroom for 19 years, criminal courtroom, you know, watching the situations unfold where, you know, the law enforcement's working as hard as they can and crime just keeps happening. It seems to sometimes be getting worse. And I have mentioned to friends of mine that I live in Midtown and have even been victim to three different car break-ins, you know, here in Midtown. If you don't lock your car, you know, obviously you I've had my purse stolen twice. And so, you know, the victims of these crimes are, you know, their lives have been a lot of times altered forever, and hopefully not so much so with thefts and that type of thing. But these murder cases and robbery cases, you know, their lives are forever changed. And so it's very important to me to identify the crimes of violence, obviously, and sexual abuse and the types of things where, you know, the defendant's morals have just completely
yeah.
been compromised, and there is no turning back, in my opinion.
Brandy, one thing that comes up a lot, I used to get a lot of trouble for my wife, is bonds for people. You know, everybody's entitled to a bond, but that doesn't mean they have, you know, right to $100, you know, get out of jail free bond. You want to just comment in general on bond practices?
I do, Judge. With our current system, as you know, I mean, you've been on the bench for a long time, even probably when we weren't so accessible to technology, but now
I brought the first computer down there.
the ability of a judge now, I think, particularly with the benefit of the DA's office, you know, there with the defendant's history in front of them, it is incumbent upon a judge to know the history of the person standing before them, and of course the current charge that they're charged with, and in looking at those things, that the information that's available, you know, bonds have to be set of course, according to the bond schedule, but with the factors that a circuit or district or a municipal judge can consider when setting a bond. And those are all things that you absolutely have to consider in every case. For instance, you know, is this person a danger to the community? Is this person a repeat offender? You know, what is the nature of the charge? Does this person have a history of that type of charge? So those are all things that, particularly nowadays with the technology, you know, the judges have the ability to and should, actually shall, you know, look at to determine a bond.
Yeah, no question about that.
Brandy, real quick, can you go ahead and give us how people can get involved with your campaign, your website, Facebook page?
And fantastic. Yes, I have votebrandyhambright.com. I have a Vote Brandy Hambright Facebook page, and we have signs available at the Republican headquarters over at the Pinehurst Shopping Center. I am always available to receive messages, and we are looking for volunteers. Of course, we're going to be working the fair. The Republican Party has been so kind to get booths at the fair, and we are going to be out there on several nights. Of course, poll greeters. I mean, just any type of volunteer.
And I'll put those links up on our Facebook page when I get home.
Yes, perfect. Absolutely. So get in touch with you know, the website. You know, message me or message anybody that you can think of to try to get, you know, a volunteer opportunity. We'd love to have you.
Good deal.
And of course, Brandy, we don't have to say, but we know you're the candidate that's going to be in support of self-defense and, of course, the Second Amendment.
Absolutely, Adam. I absolutely am. I'm a very strong supporter of the Second Amendment. I grew up in a family. Actually, my grandfather owned a pawn shop, and he was. And yeah, so my home when I was growing up was always very full of guns, and so I grew up around them, and I very much believe in that right.
Well, Brandy, really thank you. We're up against a hard break, and good luck. That election is 2 weeks from tonight.
Yes,
tonight.
Today.
Yeah. Tonight. So good luck, and we'll talk to you hopefully victory night then.
Thank you.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
We'll be back after the break with more of Armed Alabama.
Step up to the firing line. Armed Alabama is back. Questions, comments, and texts at 343-0106.
I like you, Philip. But be assured, bite my hand, and I will put you down. Your division is in charge of native crime. Or would you rather I was in charge of native crime? I don't think you'd like my methods.
Future with Captain Widmark and the fringe people being in charge of all our rights. That's why it's important to vote in these judicial elections. We have them statewide, too, for the Supreme Court. We have them locally here. We just heard from Brandy Hambright for circuit judge. Perry Hooper, though, he's deceased now, but he was a friend of mine. He told me a circuit court judge in Alabama was probably the most powerful position there was because he could do things to you like locking you up and put so much pressure on you before you could get an appeal, before you could get any extra help. So that's why you don't want to put the wrong person in there. But if you need a lawyer to do personal injury, I want to recommend the Steve Moore Law Firm. They've been doing it as long as I've been out of law school, which is since 84, I think. And you can reach them at either 8 North Dearborn Street downtown or call them at 251-445-76. Is that right? 7602. Or go to www.morelawfirm-al.com. Steve Moore and his nephew, great people, and they're native Mobilians. All right, Adam, I kind of cut you off. You were getting ready to move us in a better, a new path, I think.
No, we've just got Glenn Ramos joining us tonight. He's got a few things that he wants to talk about. Of course, next week we'll have Glenn on again because he is an expert on conspiracy theories. But you've got some real things to talk about tonight.
Yes, I do, Adam. One of the things I really want to get off my chest tonight, I want to talk about first about the upcoming midterm elections on November 6th. And I want to tell your radio audience how important this election is, more so than 2016, in my opinion. And before I go on to these cast of characters, a sampling of these cast of characters that are running for particular offices, I want to say one thing, and that is I'm done with identity politics. And what I mean by that is in 2008, when I was a Democrat, you know, it was so interesting and so intriguing to see, oh, look, we have the first black candidate of a major national party running for president of the United States. And I got caught up in the moment. But unfortunately,
you know, Glenn, a lot of people didn't know that the first, in modern days, black senator was a Republican, Edward Brooke from Massachusetts.
That's right. And looking at Obama, you know, he was for all hope and change. And guess what? Yeah, he sort of advertised change, but he didn't tell us what kind of change it was going to be. So fast forward here, 8 years later, actually more than that, 10 years later with Donald Trump here. Donald Trump is issuing more prosperity. He's making the economy better. The stock market is up. Jobs are plentiful. Unemployment is down. And we still have candidates out there that are still trying to say that this is not good enough. This is not acceptable. Why? It's working. Why change something that's working here? And we have a candidate in Florida right now, Andrew Gillum, and he is the first black candidate of a major state party in Florida running for governor. Now, again, back to identity politics. I'm not for that anymore. As Dr. Martin Luther King said, judge me for the content of my character, not the color of my skin. Andrew Gillum is a Democrat, but he's running as a super progressive. And here's why I say this. Andrew Gillum right now is running on a platform, and to your radio audience, please listen to this. He's running on a platform of one, and this is just a sampling of his platform. This is not everything, but these are the important points. Medicare for all based on a single-payer health system. How are you going to pay for that? How? He wants to abolish ICE, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency. He wants to see the impeachment of Donald Trump. What has Donald J. Trump done? He has been working for the United States of America. He's been working for the middle class people. He's been working for us. This is the big one. He is proposing increasing the corporate tax rate from the current 5.5% to a whopping 7.75%. That's a 40% tax rate hike.
And that's what's really helped the economy jumpstart.
Exactly, exactly. So why – look at what Donald Trump did. He decreased Obama's 35% to 15%. And look what has happened to the economy. You, the audience out there, you the voters, have to remember what Donald Trump and what it has done for you. Now, I'm going to go back to identity politics again when DeSantis made that comment about – to Floridians, please don't monkey this up by voting in a socialist. And all right away, the left said, oh, no, you can't say that. That's racist. He wasn't talking about Andrew Gillum. He was talking about don't vote this progressive in, because as we all know, a progressive is nothing more than a slick term for American communist.
There you go. No question.
Right? That's all it is.
I don't want to call them liberals. A true liberal is a 18th century liberal, like, or 16th, John Locke or Thomas Jefferson, you know, the progressive kind of morphed into liberals, but they've always been progressive, which are Marxist, and they're against rights for us,
exactly,
as opposed to what a true liberal is, for more rights and less government.
And that's a great segue to my next point here, Judge, is gun control.
There you go.
This guy is anti-Second Amendment. If you want a picture or a profile of someone who's anti-Second Amendment, it's Andrew Gillum. He wants strong gun laws, such as he's against campus carry. He wants – and this is very vague. Again, you guys know my beef with the term assault. But he wants an assault weapons ban, and he wants to close down gun shoe loopholes. He always touts that he's proudly stood up to the NRA.
And mayor of Jacksonville or was?
No, Tallahassee.
Tallahassee.
Yeah, he's mayor of Tallahassee. Okay. Oh, by the way, that's a good point. There's an ongoing FBI corruption case against him in Tallahassee.
Yeah. But he says he doesn't have anything.
Of course. No, it's not me. Not me. Right? Not me. And he is endorsed by my favorite group, and Adam's favorite group, Every Town for Gun Safety, Action Front.
They're terrible.
So, and he accepted support from the Broward Coward, Sheriff Scott Israel. He's famous for the Parkland shooting.
The nutcase screwed up the shooting, at least investigation.
Yeah, he gave the stand down order.
He's awful.
All right, so that's Andrew Gillum. So please, when you go to the voting booth, please keep this in mind. Do what's good for yourself. Do what's good for your family, okay? Remember what Donald J. Trump said. Democrats produce mobs. Republicans produce jobs. Okay?
I love that. Yeah, no question. This violence that we've seen is really hard to believe. It's one thing to have, like, the Democratic Convention 68. You get a lot of tempers. But just violence at a member of Congress having dinner is just crazy.
Yeah.
And obviously they don't understand that it hurts their cause. Because, the average guy sitting out there that just votes every 2 or 4 years, I think that really upsets people.
Yeah, I'm going to get to that point, Judge, on increasing violence from the left. The last two samples I have here is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez from New York. She's running for the 14th District U.S. Representative. She wants also Medicare for All. She wants a federal jobs guarantee. She wants to abolish ICE. She wants extreme gun control and assault weapons ban.
And the federal government does such a good job on everything else, doesn't it?
Exactly, right.
Certainly, let's turn everything over to them.
What did Reagan say about government? The eight most frightening words.
Right. I'm from the government and I'm here to help you.
Yes, that's right. And then the other person here I also want to mention, this is more of a funny thing, is Deb Haaland. The reason why I mentioned her, because she is running for first congressional district in New Mexico, but Vox.com said that she might be the first Native American woman in Congress. Hey, wait a minute. I thought that was Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah.
Right? What was that again?
I believe that. That's
one
really,
in 1024. Yes, yeah. Right.
Yeah. Pocahontas.
Yeah.
That's right. So these are the people that you have running on the Democrat side, the extreme progressive, the extreme left. Please be careful when you vote on November 6th.
You make a good point, Glenn, and you and I have talked at length about that. That it used to be, say, okay, well, it's Democrat, Republican, but it's not that anymore. It's Republican and extreme leftist Democrat. And if you're a Democrat and if you're running for office, you have signed up to that ticket. I don't care if you're running for Congress, if you're running for governor, if you're running for judge, or you're running for dog catcher. If you have put that D beside your name, you are that leftist individual. You are signed up to that leftist party. It's not the Democrat Party is not the party of Roosevelt anymore. It's not the New Deal Party.
I think he'd be a conservative compared to some of the people.
Oh,
he has,
absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that statement. Yes. And when we get back from break here, I want to go into how the left is increasing the violence rhetoric here over the past couple of weeks.
Let me ask you a real quick question. I saw a TV ad for the Democrat candidate for governor. He's the mayor of Tuscaloosa, I think. But I noticed a print under it. I never saw the D anywhere. You know, is he trying to pretend
number
he's
one,
not
it
a
could
Democrat?
Be paid for by the neo-Marxist of America and not him. That could be the reason. But if it was by him,
he never mentioned the word.
Well,
Democrat.
He wouldn't probably. But I guarantee, in certain areas, he does.
Yeah.
No, that's a good point. Where some of these candidates aren't putting D's beside their names, they're saying vote for the candidate, not the party. But I'm telling you, if you put your name on that Democrat ballot. As a Democrat, then you are signed up with the leftist side.
I will be for the people, and I'll never tell you a lie. We've heard that in a Senate race sometime a couple of years back.
Yeah, Doug Jones.
He's in town right now, too. He may be listening.
Step up to the firing line. Armed Alabama is back. Questions, comments, and texts at 343-0106.
I don't know who you are. I don't know what you want. If you are looking for ransom, I can tell you I don't have money. But what I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills I've acquired over a very long career. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you. If you let my daughter go now, that'll be the end of it. I will not look for you. I will not pursue you. But if you don't, I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you.
Good luck. Yeah, it should normally be in there, but there was about a 10-second gap, and I didn't want to take all the time. That's Matt Canovey from Springfield, Missouri. He's one of our tough guys.
Yeah, old Obi-Wan Kenobi.
That's
right. We need to get him in here.
We
and,
did.
Back on the show. Speaking of back on the show, we have in the studio with us Glenn Ramos, who's our friend of the show. You've been on the show with us now, what, four times? So I appreciate you coming and joining us tonight. And what I like about Glenn is Glenn has a different perspective than what the judge or myself can provide, especially when it comes to race politics.
He's as hardcore as I used to be before I just got worn out.
Glenn is hardcore. I have to get in there.
Crashing into those windmills.
So, Glenn, before we left for the break, you said you had some other things you want to talk about, of course, including leftist politics, and that is being Antifa.
That's correct. We have my second point for tonight is talking about the increasing rhetoric of violence from the left. For example, the cast of characters that you have, Maxine Waters, she was talking to a crowd of her supporters, and this is not verbatim, but essentially what she said it was, if you see anyone from the Trump administration, tell them they are not wanted here. Get them out of here. Get behind them. Antagonize them, basically. And she was by galvanizing her support group to go after Trump and his supporters as well as his cabinet.
And, you know, that is actually a violation probably of the Enforcement Act. It was an act against the KKK. If you conspire to deprive someone of rights guaranteed under the Constitution, which is certainly eating out, not being molested – and you know these people are conspiring. She's telling them to do it. They're getting on their cell phones and saying, Mitch McConnell's at this restaurant. And,
yep.
You know, I don't understand. I'm a little disappointed in the Justice Department for not going after these people, as opposed to I'm sure they're being arrested for, you know, disorderly conduct or something silly like that.
That's right. And you see, to your point, when there was during the Brett Kavanaugh hearings, the left was weaponizing the hashtag MeToo movement. They were using it as a weapon. They were using identity politics as a weapon against the conservatives. You saw Ted Cruz and his wife being hounded at a restaurant. This was on Drudge Report a couple of weeks ago during the Brett Kavanaugh hearings. So they're trying to intimidate and force change through antagonization, right? So anyways, you also have, in addition to Mad Maxine, as I like to call her.
I love it.
All right. Mad Maxine and Thunderdome, right? Anyways, you have Eric Holder. Eric Holder adapted a quotation from Michelle Obama. Michelle Obama had originally said, if they go low, she means the Republicans, we go high, right?
Yeah.
But Eric Holder readapted that quotation and actually said this. He said, if they go low, we kick them. What does that say?
Yeah, I know.
Huh? What does that say?
It's more of this encouraging violence.
Does anybody remember that he was also in contempt of Congress as the Attorney General because he wouldn't provide documents?
Well, I tell you, one thing that really disappointed me about him, when he came into office, I thought, well, you know, there's few things that I like progressives on. Usually they're pro-civil rights from this standpoint. But he made the statement that basically it is all right for him and the president to get together and sign a death warrant for a U.S. citizen that's not in combat but they think is a terrorist and have him killed. And the whole crowd, which was either a law school or American Bar Mitzvah, cheered. And I thought, you know, that's – like I say, I'm not talking about somebody in combat, but – to kill somebody in this state, we have a trial that usually lasts several weeks and about 10 years of appeals. But he vigorously upheld their, quote, right, unquote, to murder U.S. citizens, no matter whether they're here or in Afghanistan or England.
But look at the kind of society that we're being transformed into. It looks like it's guilty until proven innocent now, right?
Yep.
We saw that with Kavanaugh. We saw that with your example,
yep.
Judge. Guilty until proven
and
innocent
almost
now.
impossible to prove you're innocent. Like, you know, where were you 3 years ago at this time? I mean, who knows? You know,
right.
I can't prove I wasn't robbing a store at that time. I just don't keep records like that, and it's not up to me to do
that's
that.
Right. And but, now there's even talk discussion. I saw a discussion point today during lunch where there's a possibility that Eric Holder is considering a 2020 presidential run.
The more the merrier.
Oh, that's going to be golden, right?
Oh, yeah. And the thing about him, he's a smart guy. That's what's, you know, that's what's scary. Dumb people can kind of screw up, but he's a smart guy, and he's so leftist. I sure hope he doesn't.
Now, is it just me, or does Eric Holder kind of resemble Adolf Hitler a little bit?
Well, I was thinking reptilian, but you're right. The mustache.
The mustache.
I think,
and
the
eyebrows thing. Yeah, a little
we
bit.
We may need a DNA test.
We might not, yeah. He might be one in 1,024th.
Yeah, there you go.
Anyways, now, here is the matriarch of the demon rats, Hillary Rodham Clinton. She was on a news report, and where she was quoted as saying, "Civility can start again
when
the Democrats
win.
In power." Yeah, when we win, basically, yeah, we're out of power. We're upset, especially me because I lost in 2016 to a virtual unknown, a rookie. So I'm upset about it. I'm going to whine about it, and you know what? We're not going to have any kind of civility until the Democrats take power back.
She has been the worst sore loser I think there's ever been. Before we about near the end of the show, I want to thank Steve Moore again. If you have a personal injury lawsuit or questions about a lawsuit you may have, give Steve a call, Steve or his nephew a call. And they're at 8 North Dearborn Street here in Mobile. And just look them up on the web, www.moorelawfirm-al.com.
And, of course, if you're looking for that firearm, especially we're coming up on the holiday season, you're looking for that person, that special gift for him or her, definitely McCoy Outdoors
where
is the place.
They know their firearms, and they even sell used guns and lightly
yep.
used guns there. And a lot of times you
and
get
they
a
have
great
some
deal.
Fine guns as well. Definitely McCoy's is the place to go for your outdoor
on
and sporting
Springer
needs.
Avenue, where the old KMB was just west of the I-65 overpass.
And we want to thank all of our sponsors, Dr. Justin Foster at Foster's Chiropractic, Ace Hardware Stores, Spring Hill, Crayola, and Moffitt locations, Hanson Heating and Air, Mike Ward's Liberty Safe, and, of course, Steve Moore Law Firm, and Hunter Security. Be sure and check us out next week. We'll have Glenn Ramos back in the studio. I know you got some more stuff
Doctor
you want to
of
hit
conspiracy
on.
Theories.
Yeah, we'll be talking about conspiracy theories in our next show.
Meanwhile, there's a black helicopter out in the parking lot we need to watch out for.
Yeah, watch out.
And the guys with guns and dogs and
that's right.
battering rams.
And LSD and our Pepsi Colas.
Mm. Yeah, I better be careful here because I might have Antifa knocking on my door here tonight, you know.
What's scary is we've kind of seen the deep state exposed, you know, working against Trump. And, you know, how many of these things really go on now? Who knows?
Right.
We'll be back next week, folks. Have a great week.